You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's all about you, Father. It's all about your presence. It's all about giving you worship, the one who is worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning that you would be high and lifted up. High and lifted up, the one who is worthy, Father. It does not matter what's going on in your life. It does not matter what brought you here this morning. It doesn't matter what's happened to you last week or what you're fearing about next week. He is worthy. And that is how we go from glory to glory, of recognizing that he is the one who is worthy in every circumstance, in every situation. I believe that there's people here this morning that have a testimony of something that the Lord brought them through, of something great that they've experienced. And I believe there's people here this morning that it just felt like they kind of dragged themselves in to get here. And in both circumstances, he is the one who is worthy. That's how we walk in victory, that no matter what's happening, we're able to declare that he is worthy. So this morning we declare, Father, for every person in this place, that you are worthy, Lord. We declare the worthiness of God in each one of these lives here, Father, that is the testimony that will rise up inside of each and every person here, that you, God, are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, Father. So I thank you, Lord, that is revealed this morning, that you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, are the worthy one. We praise your holy name this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask this morning that you would just continue to reveal your heart. Reveal that grace and that extravagant mercy that's been poured out, Lord. Show us where you're moving in each person's life. That our eyes would be able to see, our ears would be able to hear everything that the Spirit is doing this morning. And we would be able to declare, God, you are worthy. You are worthy this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you this morning for every opportunity that we have to worship, to draw close to you, Lord. And we pray that this morning would lead to an encounter with the King of Kings. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you bless each and every person in this room with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did anybody have a great week? Did everybody have a great week in the Lord? How about that? How about that be your testimony? Amen. All right, I believe we have some testimonies from Ghana. We do. Our team is traveling south from the north. They're headed home soon. So Troy's going to share some testimonies.
All right. So, yeah, they left just a little while ago and in the last hour or two to head from northern Ghana back to the south, where they'll be in Amasaman, Accra area with at Pastor Samuel's house for the night. Well, not so much of a night, but, you know, short night. We'll see how long it takes them to get there. But here's some testimonies from their time this last week up in Ghana in the north, on our land in the north. So they were doing a Kingdom Bible School. And so they acted out. They had each Kingdom Bible School participant come up to kind of place their sin on Jesus, to just recognize that there's a transfer, that we give that over and turn away. Next. I think you have to hit the arrow. Yeah, that one. Yeah, there it is. So we have been co-crucified, co-buried, and co-resurrected with Jesus. So we're joined in all those things with Christ. Here declaring that Jesus, he's declaring that Jesus is his Lord and Savior, along with everyone else at KBS who hadn't done so before. Worshiping the Lord, there's Audrey. This is again in our building up there. Mama Vera giving a word of God about God's love for us and what it looks like to follow Jesus. So she's such a mother. I know it's in the name, but she's such a you know, from, you know, having schools for kids and stuff and just reaching out. She's an amazing woman. Next. The Holy Spirit is whispering to Rachel which direction she should go in life. Josh is now the Holy Spirit. Who's your Holy Spirit? Josh. They're taking notes at the Kingdom Bible School, even these couple younger men. Next. Here we're explaining a picture of something that this guy learned at Kingdom Bible School about him sitting on the Father God's lap. And that, of course, is Andy. Andy. And then there is King or Queen. We become royalty when we join the family of God. So Carly is crowning Ashley. Some serious notes up there. Do you see those notes in the background? That's some serious teaching, some serious notes. What it looks like to be closely connected to Jesus and the Father. All right. Just encountering God's love in worship. Worshiping. Josh and Rachel. Pastor Bill leading a session on a lifestyle of worship. He's a good one to lead that session. Aww. Rachel cuddling a sweet baby boy so his mommy could engage in the session. Aww. Praise God. The kid's got a mommy, so he's staying. We're good. No, four is good at this point. Josh sharing the gospel in Sanieri. So there's Josh preaching the gospel. And then Rachel also preaching with passion to see even more souls come into the kingdom. I think this is the night that we talked about there was a lot of witchcraft there, and Josh and Rachel had done the net and shared deliverance and stuff like that. About 65 people gave their lives to Jesus, including this Muslim girl right there. Praise you, Lord. Cool, cool. And we're a part of this. We've been praying. We're part of this. This is our team. This is part of us. You know, as the body of Christ. So Andy leading young men in a prayer to renounce all connection with witchcraft. And this is Pastor Samuel praying to thank God for all that he did tonight in Sanieri. And here the leaders are sharing with the rest of the Kingdom Bible School students how the Lord has been touching their hearts. It's always good. Here they are demonstrating the peace and joy that comes when we are one with God. Oh, boy. You know, you talk about these skits at Kingdom Bible School. Like, I mean, it's been a while since I've been there, but some pretty impressive, like, here's a verse. Have a skit. 30 seconds. Go for it. Demonstrate this in picture form. Go for it. Here's Josh explaining how his ring resembles the covenant love between Jesus and his bride. And, of course, Josh and his bride as well. Josh and Audrey are singing prophetically over the Kingdom Bible School students about the Father's deep love for them. And as they're just soaking in the Lord's presence. Joyfully sharing something that he learned at the Kingdom Bible School. God wants to tear down the walls of anger in his life. So that's cool. So at this school, it's amazing. You have different people. There's leaders, there's lay leaders, there's pastors, all sorts of things. And yet God just brings up things from the heart to bring freedom. So Josh and Andy, wow, no caption needed for that one. No, go back, Tiana, I should read it. They are declaring Josh and Andy are acting out the great love between Jesus and his bride. That is probably the tablecloth from the table. Again, 30 seconds, you have a skit, go. Bless the Lord. This is their second village outreach where everyone's filled with joy and laughter as the dance team brought up others to join in. So here Pastor Bill is blessing the children after they receive Jesus and Bodhi. And here we are strengthened by the Lord as we rest in his presence. Yes, Lord, let us remember. Pastor Bill is singing the Father's song over God's children. Expressing God's heart for us to remain in his presence a little longer through dance. So they're doing a dance about from the song A Little Longer. Isn't it so beautiful, like our trees in the background and stuff like that? This is our land that God gave us, and this is all taking place in there. It's so cool. So fire in the house of the Lord. Beautiful woman praying for freedom and healing for another beautiful woman. Josh releasing the delivering power of Jehovah Mapalti. Andy and Ashley are praying for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. This man, Daniel, came to KBS in need of healing. He received healing, salvation, and a prophetic word about a call for evangelism. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Aww. Illustrating marital love as a symbol of God's love for his bride, the church. All right, the Kingdom Bible School participants acting out becoming the bride of Christ. So now they're acting it out. So first Andy, now we have the Bible participants doing it. Man, that one of Andy, that should be like Facebook page. Like we should just start sharing it with Andy all day today. Like everyone go in and like share it, like it. Anyways, maybe not. Andy tapping into his prophetic roots of painting, freshening up the missionary housing with some paint. Ashley's first time leading worship in Ghana. So Ashley leading worship here. So she's skipping out on school. Not skipping, let me rephrase that. She had permission from school to not be in school to go on this trip. I heard there were a couple of things she had to do. So last night or the night before, like midnight or something, she was teaching like an hour of some kind of intervention thing she had to do for some class to our team. She had to teach it to people and record it. So how fun. The things you go through to, you know, for Jesus to open up a door. Another rendition of the prodigal son showing that both sons were blind to the father's heart for them until the younger son came home and saw his great love. And there's Josh. All right. Sharing that the best gift we can ever receive is the Holy Spirit. Pastor Bill. God swept through Nyangye with his marvelous light. As many of you know, that Nyangye is a place where it's a center of juju, or had been, has been. There's a lot of witchcraft in this area, and there used to be one of the high juju priests was there. He has since gone, gone. But just that's the response to the gospel there in Nyangye. They said it was just an amazing time of salvation and just freedom. So, Father, we thank you for Nyangye and what you did there the other night. And we just thank you for life in that village where once there was so much darkness and witchcraft, but Lord, you just came in with your marvelous light. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Raising up worshipers. Start them young. It's like little Faith up here when she's sitting down going. His name is Jesus. And Akabo? All right, we're done. So, Lord, we just, in this final part of the trip, we thank you for safe travels. We thank you, Lord, for divine encounters, Lord. So many people have gotten saved just traveling from the north to the south. So we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, again, for safe travel all the way back home Tuesday night. They're coming in. So, Lord, and thank you for everything you've done. We just seal everything you've done in hearts in Ghana and Ivory Coast and in the team as well. So thank you in Jesus' name. And, Father, I just bless Cynthia as she has a word to release today. We just thank you for your anointing upon her, Lord. We thank you for this word that's burning in her, Father. And, Lord, I just thank you that it just be you coming out in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Before we get into all that, just a couple announcements. Next Sunday, the team will be here. The team will be back. So be sure to be here so you can hear directly from them all the things that the Lord has done. And then next Sunday, we are going to be, I'm inviting you to connect in, and we're going to be preparing the church for Gift of Christmas and just decorating for the Christmas season. So that'll be next Sunday after service, and we're going to feed you lunch. So if you are able to come, I'm going to pass this around so I have an idea of how much food to order. So if you can come and help decorate next Sunday after church, can you pass that down, Levi, or give it to your daddy and then he can pass it back? We'll be here to decorate and get this house ready for Christmas. Yes? And again, I'll feed you, so please come. The more hands, the quicker we can decorate and make it look very nice. Which obviously leads up to Gift of Christmas happening Saturday, the 7th. So there is still the sign up back there to sign up to help for Gift of Christmas. Amanda is coordinating all of that. So if you have any questions, you're not sure of a detail or two or three, please connect with her. We need volunteers all day. The day starts at 10, 9, 9, 10, 10? Okay, and if friends and family are welcome to help volunteer, coworkers, anybody that you think would enjoy serving and loving on people are welcome to do that. So the day starts at 10. We meet here for a volunteer meeting. We go out and pick up people, our guests from the shelters. We take them shopping to Kmart. We come back. We have snacks. We have gift wrapping. The kids have a program. Then we enjoy a meal together, and then we have our gospel love message presentation. And then we have cleanup, and we send them home, and then we have cleanup. So it's a really powerful day, so I encourage you, if you haven't signed up, please do so, even if it's part of the time, all the time, every time. That would be great. Yes, ma'am. Oh, you will? Okay. Okay, so next Sunday, cookies dough will be here. We'll need people to take them home and bake them so that we have cookies for a gift of Christmas Day. Okay, new socks, new sock donations we'll take, we need. And then we still have clothing donation need. There's a table in the back over here in the overflow room. So anytime during the week or when you're here for church, please make sure that you're dropping stuff off. Yes and amen. So what's happening, guys? Gift of Christmas, decorating for Christmas. We're getting ready for Christmas. All right. Kingdom children and teachers, you are released. Thank you. And good morning. Okay, yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, the Lord is good. Yes. You know you are loved, right? Do we know you are loved? Do you know you are loved? Do we know that we are loved? Well, Lawrence and Troy have both shared. Lawrence talked about love that works based on 1 Corinthians 13. The questions he proposed were, am I loving people as Christ would have, or have I gotten really good at religious acts? Where is my love evidently supernatural? He talked about it doesn't grow weary. It's easy to love once. But are we loving supernaturally? Are we loving beyond ourselves? He talked about David responding with, I repent. And he received forgiveness. And Saul responded with a religious act and justification. And we talked about how our responses have generational impact. Troy talked about love adventure, stepping out and trust the Lord, trusting the Lord. Knowing that he is with us. If God is for us, then who is against us? He talked about it being well with my soul. He talked about Psalms 118. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So they've been encouraging us, and these two messages have been very significant to me this past couple of weeks, encountering different things in situations, and then the Lord just highlighting different things in my heart for this morning. And before I jumped into that, I was just thinking and pondering about Troy talking, today is the day that the Lord has made. And I remember a few weeks ago, now that the Lord had me share about that today is the day of salvation, today is the day of deliverance. And I just thought how intentional and wise and full of wisdom the Lord is, because he worded it, today is the day of salvation, or today is the day that he has made. So today is every day. Every day is today, right? Every day is today, so there is no day that we are not to rejoice and be glad in it, because he has made it. So I just love that about the Lord, that he's so purposeful, he's so intentional, and he means what he says, and he says what he means, and that he didn't put in that, he could have put anything in there, but he chose the word today, because today is always present, today is always here, today never goes away, because we're always in today, correct? So therefore, we are always in the place that the Lord created. We are always in that position to rejoice and be glad. So as I was listening to these wonderful men of God and having this conversation with the Lord, he just started talking to me about relationships. So I thought I was going to go this way with the word relationships, and he ended up taking me in a very lovely journey. Relationships, how things relate to one another, whether that's human relationships, whether that's relationships of truth, relationships of who God is in our lives, relationship between love and our souls, relationship between our spirit and our souls. So hopefully you will track with me as we just hear the heart of the Lord in relationships. How do things relate? How do things relate? How do we stay in that realm of supernatural love where we can love beyond our own abilities? How can it be well with my soul? And what's our soul? It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. How can it be well with my soul, with my mind, my will, and my emotions when hard times are present? And when there's a strain or hurt in our human relationships. So how can I stay in this love that Lawrence talked about, that's supernatural, and I just don't love once, I love a lot more, I love deeply, I love continuously, and how is my soul well, as Troy talked about, with the different things happening around me? So in order to answer those questions, I think we have to go to another place first. I think we need to look at where we are planted, where we are rooted. And that helps determine how we receive things from the Lord and how we receive things from people and how we respond and how we react in relationships. So in order for us to be able to understand, we need to, understand the relationship that there is between our spirit and our soul. What is the connection? How are they related? So where we are planted and rooted, where we are planted and rooted will enable us to see who the real enemy is. Where we're rooted will help us to see who the real enemy is in our human relationships or in our life circumstances, really. Who is the real enemy? So Ephesians 6:12. If you have your word with you today, you can follow there. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So that is who our enemy is. And where we are rooted is what helps us see the real enemy. And that's who our enemy is. It's not, our enemy is what we just read in scripture. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rules and authority and the principalities of darkness. My enemy is not my spouse, my enemy is not my mom, my dad, my coworker. It's not my brother or my sister, my roommate, my housemate. My enemy is not my children. It's not our pastors. And it's not God. But just sometimes, sometimes because of where we're rooted, we can't always see that or understand that. So we need to be able to know where we're standing, and that is going to determine what we're seeing, what we're receiving, what we are accepting, what we are responding to. Are you with me? That didn't feel like you're with me. That feels like I lost you 3 pages ago. Are you with me though? Are you following me? Okay. So we are where we are planted and rooted is what's going to help us to see who the real enemy is. Root systems nourish a tree, right? A tree is where it goes and it gets nourishment, and the root also helps produce the fruit of a tree. So our roots are very important. Our root system determines everything. Where our roots are is how we were going, what we are feeding ourselves, and what the fruit that we are going to be producing in our lives. So the roots that we were created for, let's go to Ephesians 3:16-21. I pray that out of this glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever. Amen. So these are the kind of roots that we were created to have, that we have. When we say yes to Jesus, we're rooted and grounded and established in love. We were created to know love, to experience love, to live in love, and to be able to live from love. We were created to be in this place of full understanding and acceptance, that we are rooted and established in love, and that we may have power together with the Lord, holy people, so that we can understand the depth of his love, how high, how wide his love is. We were all created to be accepted and loved. I like you, I want you, I love you. Those are the things that we as humans long for, correct? When Lawrence and I started our relationship, at some point in the relationship, I couldn't remember exactly when, but those were three things that we used to tell each other randomly. When we were talking, we were texting, back in the old days when we would write, you know, whatever form or fashion, but we would verbally communicate that to each other. I like you, I want you, I love you. And it was just something that just kind of happened, and we did it once, and we're like, oh, that felt nice to hear. So randomly, that has been something that we communicate with each other in our now marriage relationship. And the more that the more that he hears that, it forms what? What does it form in a relationship when you know that you're liked, you're wanted, and you're loved? Security. You're secure, right? You are confident in that relationship because I know that I'm liked, I know I am wanted, and I know that I am loved. In the same fashion, in our relationship with the Lord, we want to know that the Lord likes us, that the Lord wants us, and that the Lord loves us. And then in our human relationships, we want to know that our friends like us, they choose us, they want us, and they love us. In our marital relationships and children and working relationships, whatever human relationship we have, whether close or an acquaintance, don't we all want to be liked? Don't we all want to be loved? Don't we all want to be accepted? Right? So let's go to Romans 11:16. So I'm trying to paint a picture here of two things that relate. Romans 11:16. Thank you. I have too many markers in my getting myself confused. Okay, so we all want to be loved. We all want to experience this. And we were created to be rooted and grounded and established in love. In Romans 11:16, it tells us, if the part of the dough offered its first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. So if the root is holy, so are the branches. So if we're established in the Lord, in love, in if we're rooted and grounded in love, then the we would produce love. Right? If the root is holy, so are the branches, so is the fruit. If I'm rooted in love, my branches are in love, therefore I'm producing love. Love produces fruit. It empowers us to know that how deep Christ's love is. Love is and looks like something, as Lawrence talked about in his message, 1 Corinthians 3:10. And love does. Love does things. Romans 12:9-21. Love in action is the title of that little section in my Bible. So love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. Those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So this is what love in action is and looks like. This is how we should be living our life. And as Lawrence would say, that's a tall order to fulfill, right? To be at peace with everyone, to do good to everyone, to just love and be happy and blessed. And if somebody that's done you wrong asks you for food, you feed them. And oh, isn't that grand? Isn't that great? But that is what we are called to live by. That is what love, that is the fruit of love. That's what love looks like in real life. That's what tangible love looks like. This portion of scripture here. And then we go to the foundations of love. God is love, correct? In John, 1 John 4:7-21, it talks about that. Let me see if I can get there. Yes, 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that he might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Relationship, relationship, relating. God and love. This is how love is made complete among us, that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. That is what love is and looks like. And it says that we are commanded, that he gives us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. We must love each other. We must love the brother and sister that we love, and we must love the brother and sister that we don't like so much, because they can get a bit on our nerve or nerves. We are called to love. We are called to be in that place. Who is God? We are rooted, our spirit is rooted in love, in God. We come rooted and grounded in this love by the spirit of adoption that scripture tells us in Romans 8:15. So our spirit is made new when we're adopted into our Father and we say yes to Jesus. Our spirit is made new by that spirit of adoption. We're accepted in. So our spirit is made new. But our soul is being restored. So our spirit is made new. I am grounded and rooted in love in my spirit because it's a spirit, because it's become new. But my soul still needs restored. My mind, my will, and my emotions still need to be restored. And sometimes we forget that. And sometimes that is the place that we live in. We don't live out of our spirit. We don't fall back into that seat. We aren't led by our spirit. We're led by our soul. I'm led by my will and my emotions, especially when hard times come, especially when I'm bumped, especially when I'm violated, especially when I'm offended. I forget that I am rounded and rooted in love and that I must love my brother and sister. And I start responding and reacting out of a soul that needs to be restored in Jesus, that needs to be restored. Psalms 23:3, and Lawrence talked about David. David, he knew, he says in Psalms 23:3, he restores my soul. He leads me into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We were created to live from and be led by our spirit, which is love. We were created and we carry a spirit of love. If we have God in us, if we know God, then we carry that. That's where we should live from. Love. The supernatural love that Lawrence was talking about. Not the human love that ends after three times that you offend me. But the kind of love that can move beyond all of that. The kind of love that makes it well with my soul. That's the kind of love that we were created to be and to live. and to exist from. So if that is true, that's what we were created for, what I just covered, described, painted the picture through the scripture, so then there is another root system that was introduced by the enemy when he couldn't have what he wanted. There was another root system that was introduced. That root system, the root of rejection. Rejection also produces fruit. Rejection also looks like something. The roots of rejection live in our soul, right? Because if our spirit is made new in Christ, then the roots of rejection live in our soul, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions. So what the root of rejection produces fruit. That looks like something. Doubts of God's love. When we doubt, the root of rejection loves for us to doubt that we are loved, that we are liked, that we are wanted by God and by people. Fear. We live in fear, a fear of this, fear of man, fear of being rejected, fear of every kind under the sun. Denial. We like to live in a state of denial because it's better that way. If I don't see it, I don't feel it, I don't acknowledge it, it might not exist. We crumble when challenged, when correction is translated to rejection. When a root of rejection is not in operation in our lives, anything that we take, anything that is offered in the form of correction or basically anything really can be taken as rejection because that is where we are operating from. Self-pity. There's no depth in relationships. Everything is shallow because that's how we protect ourselves. Rejection also produces bitterness. When we dry up inside. When we dry up inside. And we just can't feel anything. We can't get anywhere. Rejection also causes division and pain in relationships. Rejection is divisive. It divides relationships. It tears relationships apart. My relationship with the Lord and my relationship with human people. Rejection, it produces projection. Which draws more rejection. So rejection produces projection, and it draws more rejection. Meaning we project past hurts and wounds into new relationships, and thus drawing more rejection, which keeps us in the cycles of fear, shame, and control. So if I haven't dealt with my wounds from the past, whether that's yesterday's wounds or wounds from 20 years ago, it's very easy for me to carry that and project that on someone else. If I had issues with my mom, then it's very easy for me to project those feelings to other females in my life. If I had issues with my dad or the neighbor or whoever the issues were, whoever hurt me or offended me, whoever wounded me, then rejection produces projection. So sometimes things are real that are happening in the relationships that we are in, and sometimes it's what we are drawing out from our conclusions, our fear, and our projections. Does that make sense? So that keeps us, rejection keeps us in the cycles of fear, shame, and control. We fear, we carry shame, and we like to control because that's how we feel something. So we need the Spirit of God so we can see and we can know. Rejection produces mistrust. It's really hard for us to trust the Lord. It's hard for us to trust other people in our lives. Rejection produces anger. And the Lord was speaking to me some about anger, so I'm going to stay here for a little bit. We can experience anger and not sin, but we can also live angry. So think about that for a minute. we can experience anger and not sin, because that's, I'm going to read Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. 4:26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So I'm going to pick on Steph. Can you come up here real quick? So here it says that in your anger, so we experience anger, and it's okay to experience anger, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down. So the image that I believe the Lord gave me was, so we can experience anger, which is like a hug. Give me a hug. So we had a moment, somebody did something happened, so we are face to face with anger, so we gave anger a hug.
I'm angry?
Yeah, sorry. So we give anger a hug. And that's good. If we can give anger a hug, we experience it, we release it, we let it go. Jesus, I was angry, but please take this. I don't want it to become part of me. So we embrace it and we let go. Yes? But we can also live angry. And what that looks like is... that I just hold on to it. That I just hold on to that anger, to that moment where somebody did something to me. And after a while, because I won't let go, it becomes part of my identity. So it moves with me. If I go here, if I go to China, if I go to shopping, if I go hang out with Lulu, if I have Christmas at my family's, wherever I go, anger, and I now live an angry life, and I didn't even realize it. I don't even know how I got here. Why am I always, you know, on the edge of blowing up when something goes not the way that I thought it should go? Because we haven't let go. Because we didn't just hug anger. We didn't just hug fear. We didn't just hug whatever. We held on to it. And so we walk around with that becoming our identity, which becomes part of our soul. So now my will, my emotions, and my mind have a partner. It's anger. So it doesn't matter what, it's there because I'm holding onto it, because I won't let it go, because in some weird way it offers some kind of comfort, because something was done to me and I have the right to be angry. I have the right to be angry. Thank you. I might call you back later. And how do we let go, church, of anger? How do we let go of the hurts and the wounds of our life and our heart? You lay them down at the feet of Jesus. And another word for that is forgiveness. When we hold on to things such as anger or pain, that leads us into unforgiveness. That's how we end up there, because we didn't hug it and let go. We decided to hold on to it. And then it became part of our identity. And now I live a life of unforgiveness. And what is unforgiveness? It's unwilling or unable to forgive. Unforgiveness is an unwilling or unable to forgive. So in Christ, when we said yes to Jesus, we were empowered and made able, right? When we said yes to Jesus, he empowers us to do all things. Through Christ, I can do all things. Through Christ, I can forgive. So if he has enabled us, then are we willing? will my soul, will my mind, will my emotions, will my will submit to Jesus and trust that he is for me and he is my defender. So if the Lord makes us able to do anything, then in forgiveness has to do with me and my will, with my mind, my emotions, and my will. My will, my mind, and my emotions. Will they submit to Jesus? Will they submit to Jesus and trust him as defender? Rejection talks, just like love talks, rejection talks. I don't fit in. Nobody likes me. Those are very strong and general comments to make. I wish somebody knew how I feel. No one understands what I've been through. No one. None of you understand what I have been through. Then we start to ask, where were you? Where were you, God, when I was made fun of? Where were you, God, when my heart was broken? Where were you, God, when I was abandoned? Where were you, God, when I was abused? Where were you, God, when I was raped? Where were you, God, when I was betrayed? Where were you, God, when my mom died of cancer? Where were you, God? Where were you? And rejection starts to scream out, where were you? Where were you when I was betrayed? Where were you? And then I began to hear the sound of a whip hitting a body. I began to hear the slap of a person, somebody being slapped. I began to hear the agony when the crown of thorns was pushed on his head. I began to hear the clinging of the nails in his hand and his feet. And I began to understand that he was saying, I was there. I have always been there. What do you think that was all about? I was there. I was there. I felt your pain. I felt your loneliness. I felt your brokenness. I felt it. I bore it on me. I took it upon me. I was there. I was there when you were being betrayed. I was there when you were being the betrayer. I was there. I was there. I was there. When we respond from those roots in our will, in our soul, I'm sorry, which is our will, it's so easy to forget that he was there. He was there. He is there. He was and he is and he will always be there. That is what was happening when he was being crucified, when he was being beat, when he was taking my mom's cancer. He was whipped for her cancer. He was whipped for her cancer. He was there. He was there. And he is there. Rejection demands justice. Rejection demands justice. We want somebody to pay. We want somebody to suffer like we suffer. We want somebody to blame. We want somebody to blame and to hold you did this to me. You did this to me. You need to pay for what you took from me, from what you stole from me, from what you did to me. You need to pay. Rejection wants justice. But church, do we really want justice? Because if that's the position we want to take, we need to be willing to look in the mirror because we owe somebody something. Because we hurt somebody one day. Because we said something that we shouldn't have. Because we betrayed at one point in our life. And we sometimes forget that. We just want our justice. But if we really want justice, I know, thank you, Jesus. Because then that means that we will be held to that same justice ourselves. And I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. For someone to blame. And what we need to understand is that what we need to have a revelation of, not only understand it, but live in it, is that we don't need to cry out for justice because he already paid. He was with us in our pain, in our agony. He is still there. And he paid for it on the cross. He paid for that violation, for that thing that we suffered when we were 4, when we were 5, when we were 16, when we were 20, when we were 40. He already paid. The price has already been paid. So that's why I can talk to my soul and say, hey, mind, will, and emotions, that was already paid. That was already paid. It's well with my soul. It's well with my mind. It's well with my emotions. It's well with my will because it was already paid. It was already paid. So then my spirit rises up and says, I am going to love. I am going to walk in love. I am going to love my brother and my sister. I am going to serve and I am going to give and I am going to bless and I am going to live the way that God created me to live. Because soul, it's taken care of. Somebody already paid for that violation. Because my enemy is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual authorities that want to divide me from Jesus and want to divide me from people. So another relationship that the Lord was talking to me about was John and Jesus, John the Baptist and Jesus. And I just, you know, I heard the Lord saying, you know, they're related. I said, yes, Lord, they're related. I think their moms were somehow related, Lord, yes. John and Jesus are related, yes. He goes, no, Cynthia, they're related. Yes, Lord, they were related. The moms were related. They're related. Oh, right. John baptized Jesus. Yes, Lord, I got it. They were related. They were in relation. Sorry, I hit mute. So they're related. Yes, Lord. John baptized Jesus. Yes, they are related. I just felt the Spirit of God. And this is over like days, okay? They're related. John the Baptist and Jesus are related. They're related. Lord, I know they're related. Yes, they were related. I am with you. They were related. So then I was like, well, maybe I'm missing something. So I started like, okay, who was really John the Baptist? So there was an angel that appeared before Zechariah, informing him that his prayers had been heard and that his wife would have a child, as stated in Luke 1:13. John was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were of a priestly family, Luke 1:5. Interestingly, John's mother, Elizabeth, was related to Mary, the mother of Jesus, Luke 1:36. So he said, yes, Lord, thank you, I knew that. One must necessary... Oh, Zacharias had prayed for a son earlier times, though Elizabeth was barren. And both of them now were advanced in age, Luke 1:7. So clearly John's conception was miraculous. Incidentally, he was about 6 months older than Jesus, Luke 1:26. Okay, Lord, they're related. His name was divinely given. It was to be John, Luke 1:13, which derives from a Hebrew term signifying Jehovah is gracious. Okay, Lord, I'm still with you. They're related. They are related. It was foretold that this child will be filled with the Spirit of God even from the mother's womb, and that he would be reared under the strict code of the Nazarite, Numbers 6:1-21. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing into Israel, Luke 1:80. Summed up best in the testimony of Jesus himself, among them that are born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist, Matthew 11:11. 7 centuries before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah spoke of the voice of the one that crieth, indeed of him who would prepare in the wilderness the way of Jehovah, and make level in the deserts a highway for God, Isaiah 43. The angel Gabriel had informed Zechariah that his son would be instrumental in turning many into the Lord, before going before his face, making ready a people prepared for him, Luke 1:16-17. Zechariah himself prophesied that John would be the prophet of the Most High, who would go before the face of the Lord to make ready his ways, Luke 1:76. And the declarations of John that he was unworthy to either carry Jesus' sandals or to unloose the tongues, therefore, that's in Matthew and John, was stunning testimonies indeed with obvious implications. John categorized the Lord as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29. Fruit is the outward expression of deep inner conviction. Without fruit, there is no real repentance. Surely we can learn from this that repentance is more than merely saying, I'm sorry. Associated with John's demand for repentance was an immersion in water. So that is who John was and who he was. So just keep going with me, and I'm going to get to the how Jesus and John were more than just related family-wise. So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 3 from the Message. You can listen. Thunder in the desert. While Jesus was living in Galilean hills, John called the Baptizer was preaching in the desert country of Judea. His message was simple and austere, like his desert surroundings. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. John and his message were authorized by Isaiah's prophecy. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. John dressed in camel hair habit tied at the waist by a leather strap. He lived on a diet of locusts and wild field honey. People poured out of Jerusalem, Judea, and Jordan countryside to hear and see him in action. There at the Jordan River, those who came to confess their sin were baptized into a changed life. When John realized that a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees were showing up for a baptismal experience because it was becoming the popular thing to do, he exploded. Brood of snakes, what do you think you're doing slithering down here in the river? Do you think that a little water on your snakekin is going to make a difference? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think that you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father. Being a descendant of Abraham is neither here nor there. Descendants of Abraham are a dime a dozen. What counts is your life. Is it green and blossoming? Because if it's deadwood, it's going in the fire. I am baptizing you here in the river. Turn your old life in for a kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom of life within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He will place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned. Jesus then appeared, arriving at the Jordan River from Galilee. He wanted John to baptize him. John objected, "I am the one who needs to be baptized, not you." But Jesus insisted, "Do it. God's work, putting things right in all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism." So John did. The moment Jesus came out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened up and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove, descending and landing on him, and along the Spirit, a voice. "This is my son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life." So here we can see and we can understand who John was. He was a wild guy in the desert, dressed a little funky, ate a little funky, but he was what? The preparer, yes? Prepare the way. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. So repent, for the kingdom of God is here. I mean, just picture it. A wild guy. Somebody out there right now. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. So, Lord, what does that mean? Just he's a crazy guy that you decided to do something crazy with? What was he pointing towards with his voice? What was he leading us to? What was John preparing us for? Where was he taking us? Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. What were his voice pointing towards? He was pointing towards Jesus. He was saying, repent, so that you can receive what is going to happen. You must prepare yourselves and be ready. Repent so that you can receive Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that you can receive your healing, so you can receive your deliverance, so you can be rooted and grounded in love, so you can receive that exchange and be made new in your spirit, so you don't have to live out of your soul. You can live in your spirit. That's what John was saying. That's what John was pointing us to when he was saying, repent, repent. He was pointing us to the cross. He was pointing us to Jesus. That is the relationship that the Lord opened up my eyes to see. That John and Jesus, there's a relationship, there's a connection. Repentance and forgiveness. There is a relationship there. John, the picture of repentance. Jesus, fulfilling forgiveness and repentance and everything. But there is a relationship there, church. And that's why when David was forgiven, as Lawrence taught us or talked to us about, he was forgiven because he was quick to repent so he could receive forgiveness and then he could live a life of forgiving. Where our other buddy, unfortunately, decided to respond out of his soul and was trying to justify his decision, was trying to say, well, this, but that, but that, but that, but that, boo, boo. And he was not able to connect with that. John was saying, repent, 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 so that you can receive forgiveness, so that you can receive it. We can't receive if we don't repent, if we don't get that stuff out of the way. Then I said, oh, yes, Lord, they are related. Thank you for opening my eyes to see that. Repentance, so we can receive and experience forgiveness, which frees us to experience love. And what? Who is love? God is love. So we can experience love. If we want to uproot the roots of rejection that remain in our soul, it's not rocket science. It's simple. If we really want to uproot those things from our soul, our hatred, our anger, our bitterness, our wounds, our pain, the root of rejection is uprooted through forgiveness. Forgiveness is the only thing that is going to remove and uproot the root of rejection. It is uprooted every time. It's removed every time we forgive. Because unforgiveness is what keeps us attached to those things. Unforgiveness is what has us reliving it over and over and over again. And every time that we relive it, it grows stronger and deeper. To forgive is what frees us from the root of rejection. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus said that while he was on the cross. Luke 22:34 tells us that. Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And then divided up his clothes by casting lots. Jesus could have said anything in that moment. Jesus loved them. Jesus blessed them. "Father, I love you." He could have chosen to say just about anything in that moment. But he had just been beaten. He had just been nailed. He had just been whipped. He had just gone through every horrid torment and pain possible. He had just gone through it all. And he says, "Forgive them." He says, "Forgive them." He said, "Forgive them." We need to be able to live in a position of repentance and forgiveness so that our souls may be restored and we can live from a position of being grounded in love, who is God, who is Jesus, who is Holy Spirit. A couple more things I want to cover. So what is forgiveness? What is to forgive? Forgive. Stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. Forgive means to cancel a debt. Forgive, to cease to feel resentment against. Forgive, to grant relief from payment of. Forgive, to give up resentment of or claim. I looked up just to see if there was more forgiveness, and I found this. And this is a secular definition. Psychologists generally define forgiveness as a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings. Define forgiveness as a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance towards a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. Just as important as defining what forgiveness is, though, is understanding what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness makes clear that when you forgive, you do not gloss over or deny the seriousness of an offense against you. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting, nor does it mean condoning or excusing offense. Though forgiveness can help repair a damaged relationship, it doesn't obligate you to reconcile with the person who harmed you or release them from legal accountability. Instead, forgiveness brings the forgiver peace of mind and frees him or her from coerced anger. Where there's some debate on whether true forgiveness requires positive feelings towards the offender, experts agree that it at least involves letting go of deeply held negative feelings. In that way, it empowers you to recognize the pain you suffered without letting the pain define you, enabling you to heal and move on with your life. That's a secular definition, and the reason why I decided to read that is because even a secular definition has a lot of truth in there about letting go of feelings, letting go of the resentment, letting go of the pain. Letting go is what forgiveness is. Now here, they're like, it's debatable whether to have positive feelings and all that. I think in Jesus, there's no debate. He exchanges that for love. But it is true that wisdom also says you don't have to keep putting yourself if in an abusive situation or, you know what I mean, something like that. I'm not saying. Sure. That would be something the Lord would have to speak to you personally and directly about. I think in situations, the Lord does call us to be ministers of reconciliation. So I believe that the Lord does, which I was going to mention a little bit. So there is a... Right. Well, yeah. Right. So depending on, and we can talk more later, but depending on the degree of the offense in the situation, I think Holy Spirit would need to speak to that directly. This is a secular definition, so they're saying you may or may not have positive feelings. I'm saying that through the power of Jesus and the blood and the cross, that it can become a place where you can have positive feelings. So, and I'm going to speak to that in a little bit through some testimonies, but we can surely talk a little bit more later. So I'm not trying to confuse anyone, just trying to present that even the world acknowledges that forgiveness is releasing and letting go and allowing those things. Otherwise, it becomes part of who we are. Yes? So to let go and recognize, and I would say that forgiveness is becoming aware and acknowledge the cross. When I forgive, it's because I'm realizing what happened on the cross. When I forgive, I'm recognizing and I'm coming alive and aware to the fact that Jesus was there and that Jesus paid the price. That's what's happening when we release forgiveness. It's saying, I'm not gonna hold you to a justice. I'm going to release you because somebody already paid the price for what you did to me. So for what? What do we want to do all this about? Why are we spending time talking about it this morning? Obviously for our own freedom, for our own healing, so that we can be made whole and we can live the abundant life that God has created us for. In 2 Corinthians 5:11, it talks about being ministers of reconciliation and that the Lord has created us for that. See if I can find it quickly. If not, you guys can read that. Where are you? No. Where are you? Hmm. Did I forget where Corinthians is, apparently? Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Well, the whole thing you should read is 5:11 through 21, but I'm going to read 17 through 21, if I can find it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Although this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So there the Lord is calling us to be ministers of reconciliation, to be in that position where I can love and I can draw people to the Lord because I'm no longer needing them to fulfill something. It's hard for us to minister to people and to be true ministers of reconciliation when we still have needs from people. Does that make sense? If I'm still needing your approval, I'm still needing you to like me, if I'm still needing you to appease whatever turmoil is inside, then I can't really be an effective minister of reconciliation, because I'm trying to get from you at the same time trying to get you to God, but I'm not even there, so how am I really being an effective minister of reconciliation? Joyce Myers has a wonderful book, The Root of Rejection. Some of the things I've shared about are in there. And she talks about a message, I don't remember if it's in the book, but a message I just heard recently from her, that we hurt, we heal, and we help. That is the full circle. Sometimes we can recognize that we're hurt, and so we say, Lord, heal me, and then we park ourselves there. But the full completion of that is we actually help someone, or we help the person that hurt us, or we help whoever Jesus tells us to. And what Kay mentioned a little bit, Joyce and I was saying that in her life there's been moments where she couldn't do that with the person that wronged her, so she found somebody else to bless. She was just like, find somebody to help. So we hurt, we heal, and then we help. Like, that is a full circle. Galatians 6:10 tells us to do good. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So we are called to do good. And Acts also talks to us about that. 10:38. And I'm going to land the plane. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who served under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So that is our example, that once we can recognize our hurt, we repent, we forgive, we receive our healing, then we are to follow that example, that how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So that is the full circle of my soul being restored. Because if I'm helping somebody, if I'm able to connect with the person that hurt me, if I'm able to love somebody else because that would be just unwise and unhealthy, then that shows me that my soul has been restored, that I don't have that screaming inside of me and those things tugging at me, because I'm able to do good to all. Lord, how can I be a blessing today? That's something that we pray, my family prays every morning, most mornings, but that's something that we try to live by. How can I be a blessing today, Lord? How can I be a blessing how can I be a blessing? We can pray for them. We can pray for the people, the person who we weren't able to forgive or can't forgive or not can't. Thank you, Lord. We are unwilling. We can. That's a lie that we can't forgive. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We can forgive because God in Christ, we can do all things, correct? So we can forgive. Are we willing to forgive? Are we willing to let go? So praying for people, once we release forgiveness, once we let that go, we pray for that person. It's really hard to be angry for somebody you're praying for. Try it. Lawrence and I do it all the time. If we start getting into, some people say? Intense fellowship. Start praying for each other. You can't be angry that long. It's impossible. Translated, impossible. to be angry or to hold anything against someone is not possible to do when you're praying for them. It's really weird and awesome how the Lord loves to do that. Seriously, there's somebody you haven't been able to forgive, that there's a person, a situation, whatever, pray for them. Pray for that person. And remember that first we got to check ourselves, Lord, was this even accurate? Is this even true? Or was it my rejection that received it that way? So we can't kid ourselves one way or the other. Does that make sense? So to land the plane here, what did want to... share a couple of testimonies that I heard, and then one for myself, and then we're gonna close. So as I said, I was listening to a message from Joyce Myers. I like listening to people who have the anointing regarding the topic that the Lord puts on my heart. Like, I don't, not all the time, but I sit there and listen word for word, but it helps me do what I do with the Lord. So I had her playing in the background for a couple of days, just stirring that up in the spirit and, you know. Anyway, but this is new. I had not heard this from her, but she was sharing her testimony, and it's on YouTube, so this is, you know, free to share. So she shared that she had been sexually abused and raped by her father. And she knew exactly how many times because of the way that it happened. So she was... But before she left her home, she was abused by her dad 200 times. 200 times she was abused. And so when she came to know the Lord, she forgave her father. They lived 300 miles away, so, you know, he was there, she was here. They kind of see him random holidays, but there wasn't closeness. So one day she heard the Lord say, buy your parents a house. She said she rebuked the devil. She was like, I'm not buying his house. I'm not buying that man a house. Yes, you are. Buy them a house. Move them to your town. Buy them a house. Buy them a house. Pay for groceries. Take care of their lawn. Drive them. Take care of them to the fullest. And again, she's rebuking and saying no. So she went and told her husband, because she's like, I know he's going to say no. So she told her husband, he goes, well, if the Lord said to do it, honey, we got to do it. And she was like, you're no help. So they did. With all whatever was going inside of her, she did it. She bought the house. This is the man that raped her, abused her 200 times. Anyhow, so she didn't say anything, you know, they were in relationship taking care of him, but there wasn't any discussion of the past. So one day, if I am correct, her mom called her and said, Joyce, you have to get over here. Dad's been crying for a week, an extended period of time. You need to come. I don't know what's wrong. He's just crying. Anyway, so when Joyce got there, she sat with him. They talked, and he asked for her forgiveness. Said, I should have done this a long time ago, but I wasn't man enough to do it. And you have just loved me. You have taken care of me. And he repented. And so that day, they were able to lead him to Jesus. And then days later, she was able to baptize him, and then he passed away. The other testimony that I heard was of Lisa Brevere and her father, also on YouTube, so this is out there, that she had a very tense, not a good, healthy relationship with her mom and dad. And I think her dad ended up, she had gone to visit him one day when the kids were younger, the boys were younger, and mustered up, okay, we're going to do this because Jesus has to love. She got to his door, and there was a note on the door that said, I changed my mind, I don't want to see you guys. And they had traveled. So, you know, another slap in the face, so to speak. So down the road, he ends up in a home. He's ill, and her and one of her sons goes to see him. So she felt the Lord saying, tell him he's a good dad. She's like, what? The same thing, like, is this you, Lord? I can't say that. He wasn't a good dad. And that the Lord said he was the best dad that he could be to you. Tell him he was a good dad. So she knew it was the Lord, so she grabbed his hands, looked him face to face, and said, thank you for being a good dad. And that he started shaking. He just started shaking and crying and crying. And the only thing he could say was, thank you. And her son prayed with him, and he died shortly after. So those are testimonies of the power of Jesus to heal us, to redeem us, to restore our souls, that they were able to forgive unforgivable things because they live in that place. They live out of their spirit of love. They live in that place. There was a relationship in my life before Ohio that someone came into our family's life, and I think I shared this before, but I literally came to hate this person, like hate them, like hate them, like I've never hated someone. Like if something happened to them, I would have been okay with it. Everything inside of me just, oh, I wanted justice, and I wanted them to pay for the darkness that came into my family as a result of this person. Anyway, so I was carrying that around. I had hugged anger. I had hugged unforgiveness, and I wasn't letting go. But I didn't realize that. I thought, super spiritual Cynthia, of course it's okay to hate him. Look at the person. Look at what they've done. You should be mad at him. You'd be crazy to not be mad. Then I started reading Romans. And then I realized that I had unforgiveness in my heart. And that my mind, my will, and my emotions were crying out for justice. But that I also was a sinner. That I had done things. And I was able to receive forgiveness. And I was able to release forgiveness for this person. And it flipped. I wasn't in constant communication with them or anything just because of life circumstances. But I was able to pray. I was able to remember the good things that the person brought to our family versus all the non-good things. So I know that I've experienced in my life the Lord uprooting a hatred that was so deep because of the hurt and the pain done to myself and others. And that was worse for me, like seeing what my family had suffered at the hand of this person. But the Lord had to show me that I couldn't hold on to that, or it was going to become part of my identity. And I had to be willing to let it go. I had to be willing to let it go. Not analyze it, not cut it into pieces, not try to find anything other than just letting it go. Because I had to become aware of the cross. I had to become aware that Jesus paid for that. And he was there during that season in my family's life where it was hard and painful and not good. I had to turn my face and realize, you are there. You are God. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are there. You are there. Oh, yes, Lord. So I guess this morning I just want to be able to pray with you, for you. I want to be able to just end our time here together with allowing the Lord to allow to soak in his word. And this concludes the three-part series on love. Love at the root is what I'm going with today. So we've talked about love that works, the love adventure, trusting the Lord. The Lord is for me. He is not against me. It's well with my soul. And now we're talking about the love, the root of love. It has to be love so that we can receive it and give it away. And I know that some of this might not have been new information for some of you, but it is new today. Because if you're hearing it, it's because we needed it. And I'm talking to myself. As Lauren said, getting ready for these messages is like, ooh, okay, Lord. Oh, really? Can't we talk about the butterflies and the rainbows and the woo? You know, can't we? La, la. You can. That's not where I'm at right now. Okay, Lord. All right, Jesus. So, yeah, if we just want to. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your goodness, Lord God. I thank you for this group of people that are here today, Lord Jesus. For the love that you have for them that is so extravagant and so deep and so high and so wide, Lord. That these are your sons and your daughters, Father. That you are holding, that you are wrapping your arms around, that you are embracing, Lord Jesus, this morning. Father, that you are just loving on us today so intensely and so passionately, Lord God, that as your word said, Lord Jesus, everything that is you is remaining, Lord God, and everything that is not of you, Lord, is being taken out. The trash is being taken out to be burned, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you that these are good people, Lord God, that this is a group of good people, Lord Jesus, that they are good women, that they are good men, that they are good sons, that they are good daughters, that they're good husbands and good wives, that they're good singles, that they are good, Lord Jesus, parents, that they're good, Lord, missionaries, that they're good, Lord God, that they are good, Lord, that you, they are good, Lord Jesus. And that this morning you are simply saying, let me love you a little bit deeper. Let me love you a little bit closer. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that by your Spirit, Lord Jesus, as we are willing to forgive, Lord Jesus, that these roots of rejection, Lord God, the root of rejection, Lord, is being uprooted, Lord God, and is being extracted from our identity, Lord God. That our will, our emotion, and our minds begin to submit to our spirit, Lord God. Jesus, that this is a group of people that want to live from the Spirit. They want to be led by the Spirit, Lord. They want to be led in love, by love, for love. Father, so I thank you, Lord, that every attack of the enemy, every strategy, Lord God, to keep them locked up, to keep them down, to keep them in a box, to keep them restrained, Lord Jesus, that this morning, Father God, that by your Spirit, Lord, you're saying, here is the key. Here is the truth. Today is the day. Today is the day to let go, Father, that we let go of the hatred, Lord God. We let go of the resentment. We let go, Lord God, of bitterness and anger, Lord Jesus, that we let go, Father, of self-pity, of a victim mentality, Lord Jesus, that we let go of these things, Lord God. That we are able to become aware, Lord Jesus, that our emotions become aware of what you did, that our will becomes aware of what you did, that my mind becomes aware of what you did on the cross, Lord God. Jesus, that we would know that you were there, that you are there in our time of suffering, in our time of pain, Lord God. And you are there when we cause the suffering, when we cause the pain, Lord. You are with us, Lord God. Father, I thank you that you would make this revelation, Lord God, of the relationship between repentance and forgiveness, Lord God. The connections, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are just connecting dots this morning, Lord, in the Spirit, Lord God. That your Spirit is rising up within us, Lord Jesus. That we no longer have to be led and by the root of rejection, Lord God. That we no longer have to filter things, receive things, give things, live in a rejected state, Lord God. Because you have set us free, Lord. You have set us free, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, as we are willing. And we have to choose to be willing, church. It's a choice. It's me. It's I. Am I willing? Am I willing to forget? Am I willing to let go? Am I willing? Am I willing? Am I willing to say, Jesus, have this. Have your way. And fill us up, Lord God. Fill us up with your love. Thank you, Lord, that you like us today, Lord God. That you want us today, Lord Jesus, and that you love us. Father, I thank you that every part that hasn't understood that in this house, Lord Jesus, every part of our soul, Lord God, that has wrestled with that, Lord God, that today I'm declaring out and speaking it out, Lord, in your power and your strength, that you are liked, that you are wanted, and you are loved. And we thank you, Holy One. We thank you, Jesus. Father, and I thank you if we have been set free from rejection and we've been living a life full of love, Lord, that would go even deeper and stronger, Lord God. That the love, the need to love and do good, the need to serve and the desire to be ministers of reconciliation, Lord, woo, that would heat up today, Lord. That would begin to burn in us, Lord God. I am a minister of reconciliation. I am a minister of reconciliation, Lord God. Who can I reconcile with, Lord? Who can I help reconcile, Father? Who can I draw to you, Lord Jesus? Who can I say, come? Come and be loved. Come and be into the family of God, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. That all that is you, Lord, would remain. And anything that is not of you, Lord, would be taken out and burnt up. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we are rooted and grounded, that we are established in your love. In you, because you are love. So we thank you, Lord, that we can experience love even at a greater measure on this earth, in these human relationships today, Lord God, that we can experience love, extravagant love, and we would be able to give that to others, Lord. So I thank you, Father, for the beautiful bride, Lord Jesus, that is represented here this morning, for the good works that you have created them for. And we thank you, God, that we choose love at the root, Lord. That we choose love at the root. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Father. Thank you for speaking with me. If you would like additional prayer, I'll be up here for a little bit. This is a good message, right? This is a good thing. It really is. It really is. As whatever the word is, however much it's whatever. It's good. It really is good. It's intended to, as Lawrence said, seek Jesus more. It's intended to propel you into more peace, more love, more joy, more security in your relationship with God, Because today the Father is saying, I love you. And I want you to be able to receive all of that. So let's get rid of everything that hinders and blocks so that I can love you. So I can love you. And I'll stop talking because I'll keep going. Love you guys. Thank you again so much. Next Sunday, Africa will be back. Well, our team anyway. But all right. Don't forget Tuesday if you're able to be here.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.